You know what we are doing today? Churches, Christians, we are here for competition. People come to church to show their nice, the new dress. People come to church to show their new car. People come to church for the reason, for different reasons. Let me tell you something, it's always good to socialize, and there are a lot of benefits to receive by you going to the presence of God. You can get a nice network by going to church, okay? Good benefits are in the church, don't get me wrong. But that is not the primary goal of coming to the presence of God.
Yes.
The primary goal of coming to the presence of God is to serve God from the bottom of your heart. That is why Jesus Christ is seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All other things shall do what? Shall be added unto it. When you serve God from the bottom of your heart, then the Lord will patch it up with every benefit.
Welcome to Trumpet Media Podcast with James Taiwo, encouraging people to faithfully serve God and motivating them to live fulfilled lives on earth. Get James Taiwo's books and subscribe to his articles at jamestaiwo.com. That's James, T-A-I-W-O.com.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The state of Christian faith. Somebody say the state of Christian faith. How many people are above 20 years in the church? Wave your hand. Above 20 years. How many of us agree that things have changed? We still use the same title, Christianity. We are still under the same religion, Christian faith. But the way Christianity was practiced then has become different from the way it is practiced now. We align ourselves with Christian faith now in terms of song, in terms of name, technical name, in terms of church denominations. Okay? In those days, the way we say Christianity is not, those things are there, but they are not so much pronounced. We think more of God, we talk more of God, we talk more of Jesus, we read more from the Bible. We cite many stories from the Bible, many examples from the Bible. We dramatize them in those days. Okay? We still sing church songs, Christian songs, but we sing songs with meaning. We sing most of the songs with us closing our eyes. Okay? When it's the upbeat songs, you'll be clapping, you'll be sweating because you think you are doing something very important in the presence of God. Okay? But the way we see Christianity today has become like a norm. And guess what? God is the same at all times, right? They say Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that means Jesus has not changed. God has not changed. The religion is the same, but the way we practice it has been changed. Okay? The other time when President Obama, when he was contesting, they were interviewing him. They said, "You believe in gay marriage?" He said, "I don't believe in gay marriage." Okay? He said, "But my perception of it is evolving." I'm using his language now. It's evolving. And guess what? After a few years, he now pushed that they legalized gay marriage in America. Okay? So the man that could not, that claimed to be a Christian before he became a president, that said, "I did not believe in gay marriage," he left the office legalizing the gay marriage in the whole United States. Okay? Still Obama. Okay? Still the same man. That is how many of us Christians start to evolve in our faith. When we became born again, we take it seriously. We pray seriously. We have an heart of expectation. We hope that God draws something. We pray and we are expecting, and that is the reason why many of us saw those miracles happen during those times. Okay? Many of us today, what we enjoy is as a result of the prayers that we prayed when we were young. Okay? The Bible says, God the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, guess what? If the trend continues to go like it is right now, we will end up not experiencing miracles of God anymore. We will end up going down in our faith. We will end up raising the next generation of people that do not have personal relationship with God. Our children will end up becoming people that
go with the flow of the society, they will celebrate everything that immoral people are celebrating. They will clap for those things that are bound to be resources of hellfire. Okay? We can shout, we can criticize, but guess what? Those are not the solution. So we're talking about the solution this morning, the state of Christianity. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, like my sister was telling us the other time, we tend to criticize the way people look, the way people do this, the way they do that. But what are we doing to uphold the faith that we have come to inherit from our parents? Are we passing down the same legacy for the children that are coming behind us? Revelation 2, 1 to 4. I asked us to open at the beginning so we cannot just pick up from there now. Let's go before God. So the angel of the church of Ephesus write, this thing says, he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear, those who are evil. And you have tested those who said they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. You have persevered and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Let's read four together, people. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. When a person gives his life to Jesus Christ, he goes into a covenant with God. He confesses his sins. He says, God, I give it up. I'm sorry for my past sins. Now I'll be living a life that is committed to you. It's like you are entering into a marriage. You are entering into a relationship. You want to commit into that relationship. You don't go into a relationship and say, you know what, I don't care. It's just a marriage. Like many people are celebrating it in America. I mean, they mark marriage in America today. They call it contract. People sign contract before they get married, especially the celebrities, so that they won't change their mind tomorrow and take half of their property. That is not marriage. Marriage is you enter into it for life. You enter into it with full commitment. You are ready to commit into that relationship. That is what it means to become a Christian. You become a Christian by ready to commit your life. So that means you are saying, God, I am giving myself to you. I am giving my life to you. I am repenting from my sins. And also, I am saying that I will live the life that complies with your law. And also, I will live my life to enjoy you, and I will make it to enjoy me. I will make us to enjoy the mutual relationship that is between the two of us. That is what it means. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is why the step of salvation is voluntary. It is not by force. Nobody becomes a Christian by force. I cannot force my child to become a Christian. You cannot force your spouse to become a Christian. Okay? It's voluntary. At least the best you can do is to be praying for that person. Be praying for that your spouse. Be praying for that your son. Be praying for that your parent. But eventually, everyone will have to take a step of saying, I give my life to Jesus. And once you do that, you know what that means? You are saying, God, I am in for this thing. When you say you are committed to God, you are committed to God. You are not one leg in, one leg out. You know, it's only we Christians that will do that. We are one leg in, one leg out. When it works for us, God is good. When it doesn't work for us, forget it. Let Jesus be on the side, I'll be on my side. We don't say it, but we act it out. That is not Christianity. Saying that you give your life to Jesus means that you are giving your home to Jesus. You are giving your spouse to Jesus. You are giving your children to Jesus. You are committing the rest of your life into serving Jesus. So, as Christians, children of the Lord, we are in for something that is lifetime. It is not temporal. And so, what should we do to get back to our first love? Hallelujah! You know what we are doing today? Churches, Christians, we are in for competition. People come to church to show their nice, the new dress. People come to church to show their new car. People come to church for different reasons. Okay? Let me tell you something, it's always good to socialize, and there are a lot of benefits to receive by you going to the presence of God. You can get a nice network by going to church, okay? So all these things, good benefits are in the church, don't get me wrong. But that is not the primary goal of coming to the presence of God.
I hear you, sir.
The primary goal of coming to the presence of God is to serve God from the bottom of your heart. That is why Jesus Christ says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All other things shall do what? Shall be added unto it. When you serve God from the bottom of your heart, then the Lord will patch it up with every benefit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
People, they withdraw their relationship from God because of their desires for wealth. And that one applies to us, people that live in this part of the world. As many of you that you know that God, you still need something from God, raise your hand. If you know that you don't need anything anymore, pocket your hand. So all of us, we need something from God. Hallelujah. Grandma, I like you. She used her two hands. I won't be looking here. Hallelujah. But do you know that these things can become a trap in our lives? Desires to accumulate wealth, to get rich, to become successful. Listen, competitions. We all need it. If we don't compete, we are not going to advance. You children compete among themselves. Wealth is necessary for you to care for your immediate need. At least you have to feed your children. Okay? But it can become erratic. It can become evil. It can become a sin. It can become a trap when you are obsessed of this thing that we are talking about. And so we don't know where to put a boundary, how to draw the line, when and where to draw the line. And so as a child of God, you should know that if God blesses you, it's for you to serve him. If God does not bless you, you will still serve him. You are not serving God based on condition. You are not serving God based on what you don't have. You are serving God for who he is and what you have. He is God. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. Hallelujah.
This message will continue shortly. Let me quickly remind you to subscribe to Trumpet Media Podcast with James Tywell on iTunes and other outlets. Remember to review and rate us very high in the store. Visit jamestywell.com to subscribe for free articles and download books. Continue to enjoy the message.
Some people, they draw the curtain, they draw the ball. They reduce their relationship because of some circumstances. Some, because of persecutions, because of oppressions. Okay? Some, their family, their problem. The family members are their problem. They don't want them to become Christians. Jesus Christ said, you should not be afraid of people that can kill the body and cannot kill the spirit. I think we should read that place. In the book of Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 verse 4. Jesus Christ is talking here, said, and I say to you, my friend, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after they have no more than they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Amen.
Amen.
So you fear God, you serve God. Do not be afraid of a fellow human being and sin against God. Do not be afraid of the persecution, of hostility that you will suffer from your co-workers, from your family members. Do not be afraid of them withdrawing their financial support, their mother's support, and say, I give up. Now you are a friend to them. Now you smile to every joke, even though you don't even feel like smiling. You just want them to be happy with you. That is not Christianity. You have to be disciplined. I serve Jesus for who he is. I have decided to give my life to Jesus. My parents didn't put me into Jesus. I gave my life to Jesus. All right? So it's my choice. I'm sorry. You don't want to be my sister anymore? I'm sorry. But you know what? I will still serve Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Because who even know? Maybe God only wants me and you to come from the same mother. Maybe nothing else comes from you. As far as God, what God has written about the story of my life. So when I serve God, he will make all things to work around me positively. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God will draw his hands when people withdraw their hands from him. God will withdraw his relationship when People will drive their relationship from him. Hallelujah. Amen. Today, people of the Lord, understand this very, very well. We believe that Christianity is about prayer. You are getting it wrong. You know, we have a general good, general perfect answer. You know that, right? When we have asked any question in the church, there are two perfect answers to it in the church. You know that, right? That's what people call master key. You can put it in any door and we open it. If I ask any question now, most likely you will answer me by, you must read your Bible and you must pray. You know that, right? So we use that to cover up many things. Prayer is not Christianity. Alright? So reading your Bible is not all the solution to problems. Keeping a good relationship with God, keeping a consistent relationship with God answers all the questions.
I hear you, sir.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God, I need a deliverance. God, I need a deliverance. You must deliver me. You must set me free. You must do it. You need it in the Bible for Jonah. You need it for Job. You need it for justice. You need it for John. You need it for Jesus. You need it for all the J's you can mention in the Bible. God, you must do it for me. Yes, it's biblical. God answers prayers, my friend. But you know what? After God has answered that prayer, what about the other prayer you have not prayed about? Do you think you can mention all the prayers with your little mouth? No. But when you have a good relationship with God, all those issues will be solved. Amen?
Amen.
So what you need is a relationship with God. If I am nice to my wife, I don't need to ask for 2 chickens for my dinner. If I'm nice, when I'm not nice, that's when I'm fighting to get additional chicken that I want.
Yeah.
But if I am nice, I won't ask, I will be treated like a king. And that goes into your relationship with God. Once you are consistent in your relationship with God, things will be falling into place. Amen?
Amen.
Your children will behave. Alright? When you are not there, they will just be making a decision. You will be saying, God, you must be the one that is guiding this body. It's because of your relationship with God. Maintaining a good and consistent relationship with God will work for you to a great extent. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord bless us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In the book of, we're not going to read this one, Isaiah chapter 58, verse 3 to 6. Okay? God was talking through this man of God, challenging his people, children of Israel. Because these people, they were very religious. They put on strong face. They fasted. Okay? They go to synagogue. They observe every Sabbath. They try their best to follow the laws of God. But miracles were not happening. Things were not just working for them. And this man said, true, when he prophesied, he said, you have prayed, you have asked, you have not received because you prayed amiss. Once you fast, but you still go and oppress poor people. Okay? You pray, but look at you, every other thing you do does not even show that you are a child of God. So how will you expect that God will bless you? So for us, for Christianity to come back to what it should be, must first of all start from our home. Where did I say must start from?
Home.
Hallelujah. Amen. I can come over here and tell you that we are not doing it right. I can tell you that Christianity has failed. I can tell you that miracle is no more working. This Christianity has become a dead religion. But that does not solve the problem of ground. Okay? I may not have influence in the White House. I may not have influence in the Congress. But I have influence in my home. How many population do you think you can influence? Each and every one of us that we are sitting here today. Think about you. How many people are in your family? If you influence your family, I influence my family. You influence your family. You influence your family. You influence your family. Don't you know that you have been able to successfully influence a village on its own? And guess what? If other churches are doing the same thing, everybody influencing their family positively in the way of the Lord, you will end up bringing Christianity to what it should be. you will be able to raise a generation that will continue to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
My success is not all about my achievement. You know where you will measure my success? My children. If your parents raise you in the way of the Lord, you are not able to raise your children in the way of the Lord, you are a failure to God.
I hear you, sir.
On the day of judgment, many of us will be saying, many of us are thinking that God will be calling people's name. Yesterday, when your wife was not there, you took chicken from the pot. You are a thief. Go to hellfire. You gossip on the phone yesterday. You talk about sister so and sister so. And when you say yes, actually you mean no. Because you were lying, you were not telling the truth. Go to hellfire. God's judgment will be much more than that. God will weigh you based on your responsibilities, all that he has committed into your hands.
That's right.
You are responsible for your home. You do not raise your children in the way of the Lord will ask you. We are all causes of Christian failures. Parents, children, even the church leadership. We are all causes of failures in Christianity. Everybody must assume his or her responsibilities. Hallelujah. We are all causes of failures. What are the roles of the parents?
To teach them the way of the Lord.
Teach them the way of the Lord.
Bring them up in the way of the Lord.
Bring them up in the way of the Lord. What is the role of the church? To make people to have awareness of God. Alright? What is the role of the children in this thing we're talking about? To follow, let's clap for that lady. Amen. To follow that instruction when they give it to you. That is the role of the leadership of the church. To come up with programs that will bring the awareness of God into our lives. We don't have the roles to play. We have to be conscious of what we promote around ourselves. As a family, what should we promote? As you encourage your children to get inclined technologically, you also need to promote Bible knowledge. Help them to grow spiritually. When you give them gadgets, you also give them Bible. Hallelujah. If your child can have an app, he can have a game on his phone, he must also have a Bible app. Okay? He must have a devotional app, at least he can have proper media. If they are watching Cartoon Networks, then there is supposed to be a time that there is also a time of spiritual atmosphere in the home. There should be a time that you are doing Bible discussion. There is supposed to be a time that you are praying. Let's do some church song in the house today. Hallelujah!
Amen.
You will sing treble, I will sing alto. Create that thing in their mind that this thing is how they do it. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Do you remember the one they call hide and seek, right? Let your children play hide and seek using Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Okay? Let them play hide and seek doing Jacob and Esau. Let them do all those Bible characters. Let them act it out. You will be the Esau, I will be the Rebecca. And you will be the Jacob. Okay? Jacob, where are you? I am coming from the farm. Let them do it. If your children can learn and sing Justin Bieber's song, then they should be able to memorize Bible verse. Are we listening? If you can play basketball like Mike Jordan, then you should be able to preach like Jesus. How can we get back to God? We must have discipline. Somebody say we must have discipline. Hey, if you fail God, God will ask of you. Okay? If you fail God, God will ask of it. You remember the story in the Bible? A master, a rich man who was wealthy, he gave talent to some guys, some three guys. He divided it above based on their capability. And he came back. He did not go and forever left. He went back at the right time to ask them, what I have given to you, how much have you invested with it? Amen? All those things that you have, they are your responsibility. God will hold you accountable to them. God will hold you accountable to your roles as a parent, your role as a wife, your role as a husband, your role as a child, God will hold you accountable. You must not fail God. Somebody say, I must not fail God.
I must not fail God.
I must put Christianity to practice. Hallelujah. So my job is not to fix you up. My job is to fix myself. You fix yourself, I fix myself. Then we're going to be the community of people that have fixed themselves.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Start to encourage that man to pray, to read the Bible. Women, the Lord bless you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You have something that men don't have. You have the power of persuasions. Okay? I'm not talking about mouth, because mouth, men feel like you are controlling them. That the power of persuasions is come from you influencing them. Now don't influence them to be claiming rivalry with their peers. Ah, I bet I come out to one verse. Oh, Rodia Wonko Wonko. That's not what I'm talking about. Influence them to love God. Influence them to know God. Influence them to serve God. The Lord shall help you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I want you to bow down your heads and pray. I said, God, I want you to help me. Begin to pray in the name of Jesus. Daddy, I want you to help me. I must not fail you. I must not fail you. I must not fail you. I must not fail my responsibilities. I am receiving the strength, I am receiving the ability, I am receiving the empowerment. God, to serve you with a committed heart, to promote your interest, to influence those people who are put under my control, to make my family to love you, to make them to serve you, to make them to be true your children, to be your true children. Lord, I want to be able to promote your kingdom in my home. Lord, I want you to help me to be consistent. I want you to help me to be disciplined. I want you to help me to be prayerful. I want you to help me that me, my husband, me, my wife, me, my children, we are going to serve the Lord. Give us the strength to do so in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus,
amen.
We ask you to help us. Help us, Lord. Help us. We know what you are teaching us today is about your kingdom. It's about raising the generations of people that will serve you faithfully. We pray that you give us the ability to do so in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let your Holy Spirit take charge from here.
Amen.
To help us to act on the word that we have heard.
Amen.
And for us to put them into action.
Amen.
Not only for one day, not for 2 days, but for every day of our lives. So that you can be proud of us, and so that you can take glory over our lives. And eventually, so that we can be rewarded in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hope you enjoyed this message by James Taiwo. Subscribe to this podcast to stay informed of every new episode. Trumpet Media is the media arm of World Outreach Evangelical Ministry. If you live in New York City area, consider to join our worship service on Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located at 3721 Rockaway Beach Boulevard, Far Rockaway, New York, 11691. Learn more about us at woem.org.